everyone. Thanks for joining us today. This is Real Estate News We Can All Use podcast. I'm your host, S.R. Williams. And today, we have our real estate expert, Gregory Williams of Feasibility Research Group with us. Feasibility Research Group, or FRG, is a regional real estate consulting firm that specializes in real estate appraisals, appraisal reviews, rent comparability studies, market research, and housing studies. And today we're going to be discussing the impact COVID-19 has had on professionals in the real estate market, more specifically real estate appraisers, who in many states during stay-at-home orders were deemed an essential business as their work helps to keep real estate and financial transactions moving. It is also a profession which requires in many cases the professional to be in close proximity with others, whether it's in property owners or tenants. So let's get started off, Greg, with a pretty basic question. So how has FRG been doing during this time?
FRG is, well, thank you. FRG, and thank you for having me on the show.
No problem.
FRG, the FRG team is working hard to safely deliver high quality appraisals, appraisal reviews, rent comp studies, market studies, and general research to our clients. It has been a trying time, staying safe in this troubling environment with the COVID-19 virus, potentially in some of the major cities that we work in. We do work for public and government agencies. During the stay-at-home orders, some of our projects have been put on hold or slowed down. Travel has been very hard. Like I said, some of the major cities, Chicago, Milwaukee, Detroit, Cleveland, where we work, basically work everything this east of the Mississippi River. Air travel has been difficult and challenging, trying to get direct flights without going over the hill and through the dale to get to your destination, as well as hotels, as you know, are now most of the hotel chains have closed down. So if there's an overnight stay, it's almost impossible. I don't want to stay in a car or have my associates have to stay overnight in a car. So travel is very difficult, and that's not an option. As well as just the overall safety. Some of the issues with hotels, why they have closed down, is because it's so expensive for them to have to clean the rooms at the levels that need to be cleaned. So our potential associates and myself would be in harm's way because we don't know the level the rooms are cleaned.
So how are your associates feeling? Like, what's their your psyche? How are they doing? How do you keep the team up? Like, are they feeling pretty good, or are they afraid? Like, how's the team doing?
Well, as you can imagine, overall stress levels are a little higher than normal because, you know, this is an unprecedented environment that we're working in. But for the most part, everyone's optimistic. We realize we are an essential business, that we have been deemed by the government to be an essential business because we are that. We are essential to help keeping the financial sector moving along through appraisals. And, you know, we work, like I said, with the federal government doing rent comparability studies, which, you know, helps the HUD make sure that people have safe and affordable housing, as well as we work in the space, in the utility space. And we work for the Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District, and clean water, clean and safe water is definitely something that we need in our community. And so working those projects, we know we are needed to keep those things going. So we have a purpose. Our people know we have a purpose. So, you know, everyone's, kind of working through the process.
So, Greg, one of the things you said was one of your main services is appraisal or valuation of commercial real estate. So I know commercial real estate is office, retail, multifamily apartments, et cetera. So I got to imagine that you're going into apartment units and there's tenants, or you're going into an office and there could be tenants or workers in there as you're doing your inspections. So, I mean, how has your process for doing inspections changed over the last month or two? I mean, I got to imagine that, you know, you and your associates are at a little bit more on edge. And I got to imagine, I mean, if I had an apartment, I wouldn't want anybody coming in, traipsing through. who potentially could have COVID-19 touching stuff. So, I mean, do you guys have a protocol or something that you're doing? I'm curious about that.
Well, yes, we have an inspection protocol that we put together based on best practices from several sources, FHA, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and as well as the Appraisal Institute guidelines, and HUD. So our protocol and what we found works best, and you're right, we want to keep everyone safe. We want to keep the tenants safe. We want to keep our associates safe. So we request that only one person accompanies the appraiser on an inspection. They maintain the 6 feet distance from the appraiser or the associate doing the inspection. And we request that we prefer to have vacant units when we do the inspection. Unfortunately, some of the properties are, because it is affordable housing, they are rented up to maximum capacity, so that's not an option. So if there are no vacant units, then we request that the tenant step out of the unit during our inspection time, and that the person who is accompanying us, they will turn on and open doors in the unit, so we don't have to touch anything and potentially contaminate their apartment or contaminate ourselves. We tell people to not use the elevator. If they do have to use an elevator, say it's a high rise, that only the person, the company, the inspector or the associate or appraiser is in the elevator with the person accompanying them. We don't want to have to multiple stops and longer durations in the closed small space, potentially contaminate somebody or someone gets sick. And like everyone else, we use protective PPE. We use masks and gloves to make sure that we don't expose ourselves or other people to the virus.
Okay, that sounds good. Those are actually some pretty good practices. So, what are there any concerns that you have with conducting any of these inspections? Or, do you feel like your protocol is kind of covering it and you feel pretty comfortable going in? Or are there any still lingering concerns that you or your associates have?
Well, when we actually go into an inspection, people usually want to know what we're doing, kind of, and so I think people gravitate or want to know. There's seniors in the building, and a lot of times if it's a senior building or it's even kids around, so we're the spectacle for the day. So, people may get a little closer than you want them to, and that's the major thing, to keep them away from you. And again, we want to keep everyone safe, 6 feet distance minimum, away from us, away from them, and definitely not touch anything. I know it may seem like we're being overly concerned about not touching things, but no, never could be overly concerned about exposing yourself.
Well, that sounds good, and I can't imagine that. So let's kind of switch gears a little bit and talk about what you see as some short-term or maybe even long-term impact that COVID-19 safety measures. I mean, you have your protocols that you're doing, but I got to imagine that there's going to be some changes in safety that may happen in commercial real estate sectors, in particular office, with so many people being employed, work outside the home, although, people have been working at home now. But even retail or multifamily, what are some things that you think could be in effect for a while as far as changes that we need to see?
Well, I think office, I'll start with office. Office will be a challenge. The office space will need to be cleaned more, which is costlier for the prospective landlords or respective landlords, as well as tenants may have concerns about bringing their employees back into spaces that may need more space as far as spreading people out. The queue farm, the traditional queue farm may have to change, may need more space. Thus, they may take the option that they keep people at home. If they keep people at home, they may need less space overall, and as well as there is the issue that, you know, there was a big hit in the second quarter with a lot of businesses having to close down or scale back. So they're looking at a situation where money is a little tighter. Like anyone else, like a person's budget at home, they have their budget's a lot tighter, so they may opt out of a lot of the office space. So that may hurt the office market rental rates. As far as retail, I think retail, we've kind of, even before this pandemic started, retail was having problems being competitive with the internet. Amazon has been hurting the retail space, the internet environment, or internet commerce has been hurting the brick and mortar retail even before COVID-19. So I think this may have escalated or moved retail down the funnel of more having more closings in that space, as far as decreasing the need for malls, decreasing the need for brick and mortar, you know, big box. So I wouldn't say that it's changed. I think it's accelerated the process, that people are going to make changes as far as consumer making changes, that they may get used to ordering from Amazon now, from Whole Foods, maybe, you know, going get pickup from stores, from their local grocery store that has pickup curbside service. They may do that more, which thus the stores may need less retail staff or cashiers, and they might use more of a distribution model. So I think that's the direction retail will go. As far as multifamily housing, what I've seen on some of the data is that we haven't really seen the fallout from COVID because of some of the stimulus money that was put in place, as well as the unemployment benefits that were put in, that people were able to obtain, as well as the increased unemployment from the federal government. So if you're not on the coast of the United States, the East Coast, West Coast, you probably saw a bigger unemployment benefit as far as your cost of living. It probably was more in line with your cost of living versus if you're on the coast. So if you're in the Midwest, it probably was a little more beneficial. So thus, we haven't really seen a lot of, we haven't seen a lot of, lost my train of thought there. Sorry.
We haven't seen yet, like, a lot of foreclosures or due to the fact that people aren't paying rent.
Yeah, rent delinquencies. Yeah. So delinquent rents, so potential evictions, and we haven't seen that yet happen in that space it's been projected that after the 8 months of the increased unemployment, and then maybe another stimulus round after that, it's been projected that we will see an increase in the delinquencies in the multifamily sector.
What do you think about, I gotta imagine there's gonna be some changes to senior housing. Just because of so many of the cases in those kind of living environments, like, do you have a thought on that just yet? Or is that one of those things that needs to evolve over time?
Yeah, so senior housing is I guess, in Washington State, obviously senior housing was kind of where we found out we had a problem with the COVID-19 virus. So in congregate housing, this isn't the worst. Congregate, close spaces, shared services. So I think that model will have to be readjusted. And I don't know, you know, if it's something that could be a short term. I mean, that may be a long term solution. Maybe some more legislation involved. So it's not, because it's structural. It's, you know, the building is the building. You can't really change the building overnight. So these are long term in walls. I mean, if there's a concrete wall there, you just can't, you know, put more walls or knock walls out fast. It's not a fast short term solution. So I think those are long term solutions that may have to be addressed. I think it may need to be some legislation, if not state level, the federal level, of how we address how we house people in those kind of locations and how we safely house them, as well as, you know, staffing, the staff move from location to location. Are we going to be able to track who's been where faster? So those things may be outside of my pay grade, but I think that will have to be addressed just to be safe.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, you've kind of talked and hit on some of the commercial sectors. Curious, as you think about industries from a real estate perspective, who do you think will be hit the hardest, and can they recover? And I don't know what recover really means. I mean, it's more so probably who do you think will hit the hardest?
Well, like I said earlier, I think retail, not necessarily that they didn't see this coming. I think it's exacerbated their direction that they were going down the funnel to having issues with their competitor, which is the internet commerce. So I think retail is going to take the biggest hit or the hardest hit. Next, I think, will be travel and leisure. Hotels are going to be difficult, I believe, for hotels to be able to attract not only business travelers, but leisure travelers. I think the whole point in the leisure travel in that whole space is you want to have leisure, that you want to have something that's going to be recreational. And it's kind of hard to have comfort if you don't believe that you're actually safe at the in the environment that you're staying. So I think they're going to have a challenge trying to get people to feel comfortable, to willing to spend their money on hotel space. The next one would be amusement. You know, your Disney World, Disneyland, your Six Flags, Cedar Point, that kind of thing. Again, those are large spaces that people congregate in, and you don't know what your neighbors have been doing or how they've been in contact with. So I think they need a lot of traffic. I don't know if a lot of people are going to opt in to partake in those particular endeavors to actually make it feasible for them to operate. And then movie theaters, you release a blockbuster, you need to have a lot of people come out. But again, how many people are going to opt in to sit in the movie theater with people they are not sure if they've been exposed to the virus? And then are movie theaters willing to put their premium products out to half-filled theaters? So again, these are questions I don't necessarily know if I can answer them on the business level as they make their business decisions. But on the real estate side, you know, can a movie theater operate at 50%, 40%, or whatever the state or federal government has deemed to be safe capacity levels? Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's interesting. I think you're with retail, you're right on, because that's something that had already started, the transition over to having things delivered, people picking things up. In the short term, it probably will have an impact on hospitality and entertainment. But then once there's a vaccine and a cure, people like to socialize and get together. But retail is going to continue to suffer, as a lot of retailers are having issues before this even happened. So it's definitely something. So, well, hey, we're getting close to the end. I guess my only last question for you before we wrap this up is, do you have any words of advice for a commercial property owner during these times? Anything that, you know, you can offer up to them that would be encouraging for someone who owns commercial property today?
Well, I would say if you're looking to invest, I think in the coming future, some of the sectors that may have trouble, if someone can repurpose or have a way of finding innovative ways to find tenants or have innovative uses for properties, there may be opportunities to get deals in the coming future when people have trouble, using them as a traditional way. Multifamily housing, I think, again, like I mentioned earlier, if the once the stimulus money and the unemployment benefits stop, and if employment does not increase at a fast rate, then that may be an opportunity there if smaller landlords can't make their mortgage payments or they don't get workouts with their lenders. There may be some fire sales if they don't have the cash to hold on the properties, they may be willing to sell it at a discount before it goes into foreclosure. So I think it's a wait and see. No one knows right now, but there, I think if things stay at the continued pace and the current direction, there will definitely be opportunities out there.
Oh, that's great, and I think that would be what investors would want to hear. Well, you know what, Greg? Thank you a lot for being here today with us. Again, this is SR Williams with Real Estate News We Can All Use with our expert, Greg Williams of Feasibility Research Group, a regional real estate consulting firm. Until next time, stay safe and keep investing.